Ancient Texts, The Genealogy of Energy, is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbro and is a production of EI Alliance, copyright 2022. Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Good. Let's hope that my connection stays good. It took a long time to connect, so the crazy weather we're having here is not helping.
The problem?
Oh, I know. Imagine that. Ice and driving, and you can't even, the road outside the condo is, you can't even pass.
Hey, where do you need to go?
That's right. I can do this right here with you. How cool is this?
That is. It is. So we were impromptu just chatting during the storm as I was cooking something. And you started to say something. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is Chariots of the Gods, part 3.
So, yeah, Julie, if you know, anyone who's been listening knows that Julie's like, wait a minute, stop. We're going right for the gusto and we're going to go and do this. She just, and you know, that said, any of you out there who haven't gotten any of her books, you're missing out in a huge, huge, amazing place that you can go with any of her books that she's written. Anyone who, you know, and I can't even keep up with them. I'd list them, but you know, I'd make a fool of myself because I can't list them all, but,
You're so sweet. Well, we have a lot of fun writing together, so we'll see what we come up with next.
Yeah. So, and again, I always said to Julie, all we got to do is hit anytime we talk, whatever it's about, when it's like, hey, let me tell you the stupid things that happened to me over the past week, we should still hit play because it always comes around to this conversation. It's how much of the chitter chatter can you listen to until you get to this point?
Well, so, that's the thing, because I was in the middle of saying that to you, that, you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, the plumber. I'm not going to talk about whatever's going on out there that supposedly is being shown to us. You know, I'm not going to talk about anything except, you know, when we go into the energy and it becomes pretty interesting.
So you guys, I'm sorry, but we're fast forwarding. You don't get to listen to the old stuff until I can get Julie to start recording at that point, but she doesn't. So we're here. Ready to go for the, you know, going for the gusto here. And it started with, we talking about, you know, Chariots of the Gods. And I can say the last thing we said before she says, no, hold on. I said, and I'm just going to start it. And then Julie, you're going to take it from there because I don't know where you were going.
Sure you do.
But I said, you know, the beautiful thing and the reason why I think of, you know, Chariots of the Gods and, oh my God, he's my hero, has nothing to do with whether you believe him or you engage or you enjoy his hypotheses, as he puts it. Mm. It's the idea that he went out there and he said, you know, everything that we've been told that this is the way it is fits in a nice, neat little box. And anything that's been discovered that kind of shakes up the box has been kind of poo-pooed to the side. And you, unless you find out about it or you hear about it, you just go with what everybody's been told for eons. And that is what I found so fascinating and so liberating in his book. It's not like, oh my God, there are aliens, look at all this. I mean, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not making a comment on that. The beautiful thing is he kind of broke away the mold. He broke it. And it's like, if you know, and once you see it's been broken, you have a choice to either just, you know, like give me the black pill again. So, or red pill, whatever, one. Which one it was, the black pill, or the red one. I want to forget this. Like, I want to go back to the way things used to be. And I don't want to know about this stuff. Or you say, wow, look at what's this just opens up everything. Is this, what else is there that has been, quote, made to fit into a nice, neat box? Right. And that's why when I say he's my hero, because I don't know of anything else. And of course, now we have TV, and now they're, you know, of course, they're using it for the alien piece of it, which is fine, because that's kind of where his hypothesis goes. But,
well, that's where, you know, I was in the middle of cooking, and I said, wait, because I think the percentage of, you know, the aspect of using the term hero got a little hijacked, because in the other thing, I'm, you know, the so what now what thing I'm working on, I had a hero passage. And, you know, I think I kind of thought, well, is that really the word you want to use to describe what you're focusing on? Because I think
that's the big thing.
All I can think of is that song, too. It's that song with hero in it. And that was huge in the 80s, and everyone would play it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the aspect of what you're saying about Von Daniken is intriguing, because, you know, it aligns a lot to where any person can go with something, and yet then what occurs. And I think what you brought up and what you focused on is so really important. Yet what happened is, once again, it got hijacked, and it becomes all about aliens. Mm-hmm. And there's a simplicity in saying that, yet there's a real intensity in saying, huh, that's, you know, some really cool vital information. And it gets hijacked, and then it becomes, you know, the narrative. And then, you know, I tend to, and this isn't a discriminatory thing, but then I tend to, you know, I see him on the interviews and stuff, and sometimes it's hard, because even if he says something, they go in a different direction, mm-hmm. and make sure it aligns with their right. narrative.
And which is like, no, you know, different than what he's been saying has been happening from day one.
Right. And so there is where he is kind of confined himself into a labyrinth of a puzzle. So, well, he shares this, you know, interesting stuff. And then even in the publication of it, and nowadays it's a little different because you can self-publish, and no one's going to edit it out except yourself, right. you know? And even in that sense, you know, we even contemplated, okay, did he add that in at the end? Because his editor said right. you have to, or,
right.
and you know, the funniest thing is, most often, this is terrible, I'm going to say it anyway, this is a blanket generalization, but most often, you know, people that do editing and whatever, that in these book publishing places, and I mean, look at even J.K. Rowling and stuff, they say, ah, oh, nah, we don't want that. That's not going to go anywhere. And people get devastated, and they don't do anything. And yet, where is there, you know, where are they rating and you know, saying that this is not going to go anywhere? It's their own personal opinion.
Right. Well, it's beliefs, which is right. another, right. you know, if you, and I had a conversation with my daughter about, you know, something, and she was like, you know, what about, you know, if I think this, then am I going to create something? And I said, well, I, you know, I'm talking in circles, but it's like, well, what do you really believe? And when you ask someone, they're like, oh, everything's going to be fine. I'm like, well, then it doesn't matter all the other noise, because what you really believe is what's going to show up. And it's not, you know, oh, well, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, and therefore that's what you bring to yourself. No. It's the core of what you really believe. And if someone can get in there and change that belief or even cover it, then of course you're gonna see everything is in alignment with it. I mean, you know, and the funny thing is, beliefs is where you go with it isn't so much it actually happens, as much as that's the way you see it. It right. doesn't matter. I mean, we were joking. Well, go ahead.
Well, just, you know, an odd example, because you were a little enigmatic, but the, you know, an odd example is, you know, which doesn't really happen a lot nowadays, but, you know, you go out for dinner and you really want Italian food, and say you really want, you know, eggplant and pasta or something, and you really, you know, go out and that's what you want. And then when you get there and you sit down and the waiter says, well, we have this special. And if you falter a little bit, you know, again, it's not a belief, it's a desire, but, you know, it's a good example. I think if you falter a little bit and you go, oh, that sounded a little bit interesting. And he said, well, we have this special, or we have this, would you like that? And then, you know, someone else has a conversation with you who's there at the dinner party or whatever and says, oh, I'm going to have that. That sounds really delicious. If you sway at all from that core of your, you know, it's going to say desire now, but that's not really what I want to say. But if you sway at all from that core of your belief, which can happen at any moment, because, you know, the minute you walk outside, it's like you have this, you know, buffet of crap thrown at you. Mm. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't want the fried stuff. Yeah, no, I don't want that. Yeah, no, I don't want that. And then, you know, at some point, it's like, I just wanted eggplant and pasta.
So I think what the point is well made. And so getting back to the chariots of the gods, if you can read it and you can go to where I'll say Ancient Aliens brings you. I didn't even make that leap. I was like stopped. So like I read, like, you know, I always say it, I read something, something stops me and it's like, I can't get beyond it. I can't get beyond it. So it happened with the Kabbalion in the very beginning. I'm like, what, why am I stuck in the, and I think I said to you, I had to just kind of skip over it because it was not allowing me to move forward. With the chariots, that's all I got is he broke the mold. I hate to use that because it's an overused term, but he actually showed people, look, what you've been told, he says it's not true. I'm just going with, there's so much evidence that contradicts what you've been told. And we know now, you know, even so many things, you know, we hear now about Columbus and Christopher Columbus, and we hear about all these other, you know, people that were, you know, are, I'm going to use the word heroes, right? These people that were, we find out now that they weren't. We it's like there's a whole other side that we weren't told, and not, and it is Black History Month, and they even just, you know, there was, there's, I keep hearing these ads that, you know, there's these people who are amazing heroes and did these things that never made it into textbooks. I always go to, we don't know. We, you know, we think, oh, we're historians. And that's where I go to the expert. We're the historians. Yeah. This is what was said. I can quote what these books have said. And this is the way it was. And it's always like, is it really the way it was? And what we've been told, is that really what the truth is?
Well, the really funny thing about that is it's very revealing in the word itself. I mean, history is his story.
So
it's very, when the word itself reveals, yet, you know, you're indoctrinated into, okay, I got history at 2 p.m. We got to study the Civil War. This is what they say is happening. Mm-hmm. That's, and you get like almost brainwashed into, this is what the story is.
So that's where I stopped with the book. And, you know, maybe fortunate I didn't read it before. And I just, you know, I got it from an online library and read it. And that's where I go. And that's where, you know, when you gave when you're talking about, what do you want to eat? Do you want Italian? Oh, you get to the restaurant and all that. It all comes down to what do you want to take from anything? We were having a conversation, and I won't be enigmatic. I'll give you a little bit of details. We were talking about some gentleman that I met, right? And we were talking, and there was something that occurred. There was something that he had said, and I could take it any way. He made a comment, or he didn't even make a comment. There was, it was something that occurred. And I explained to you, and I said, oh, I could go in a really dark place if I wanted and beat myself up. But I'm like, but I know that's not the truth. And I don't know what the truth is, but I have a choice. Do I want to go in this direction, or do I want to go in another direction? And sometimes it comes to that. And with this, I made the decision. I didn't make a decision. I almost feel like it was made for me that's what I got. That's why he's my hero. That's why he's like, he did an amazing thing. He just went and said, not, you know, it's almost like I could see him with a hammer hitting all these glasses, like, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, and that's not true, for all these reasons that people just, you know, shoo, put it under the rug. And these are the and then he, of course, he did actually the one thing that we always say no one does, and he went one step further. And I'm not here saying he's right or he's wrong. I'm not judging his ideas and what where he goes with it. I'm not judging it. I think it's just great that he allowed himself to go into a space and go with it. And the fact is that he basically brought it to the attention of the millions of people that read his book, that what we've been told is not necessarily 100% true. And to me, that is the wait a second, what? Mm-hmm. And whether he, again, whether there's aliens or not, we could sit and we can have another conversation about that. That's, to me, is a secondary. That's not even the conversation. The conversation is, look what he did. He broke the mold. Again, a stupid analogy, right, you know. But right. And I'm like, there's so therefore, I believe he opened the door for us to have this conversation,
right,
about what we've been conversing about for the past, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years now.
More than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, officially, on podcasts and in books. You're right. Before that, even more so.
You know, the funny thing about that is because also as a part of that, you know, as the part of the duality of that is anytime anything is quote unquote popular, you know, this isn't me, you know, I can only say it one way. This isn't my advice, but you want to run the other way. Because anytime anything is quote unquote made popular, there's a reason. And, you know, there's an element, because I think, you know, what you're saying, and this is going to be a little daring of me, and I don't care. I think a lot of the concepts, because I review them a lot, sometimes when I'm writing something or I'm working on something, a lot of the concepts from energetic invocations, a lot of them, you know, break the molds on thinking. And a lot of them really just say, wait a minute. And that's both of us going, okay, this, that, wait a minute, and pushing ourselves further. And I think that's the part, that's the really highly energized part that you said about him, that is really vibrant. And that's pushing yourself further, going, okay, this doesn't make sense.
And then I think there are going to be people that want to debunk it, or they want to push through it, and they want to prove, I use that word, they want proof. They want to find the proof to debunk it, or they want to find the proof to say absolutely. And that's great. That's what your goal and your thing, you know, your thinking is bringing you there. I don't even have that interest. I'm more interested in saying, okay, where further do I go? Which leads into, you know, we're going to be talking about, this is just a little sneak preview. We're going to go into Outwitting the Devil by, of course, Napoleon Hill. And in the book, I you know, I'm reading through it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so, hits my core. Like, it hits my core, and it brings in the idea of, you know, he's been a big proponent all along about beliefs, and, you know, your beliefs are what drive everything. And when you realize that and you get to the core of it, like, I've talked to different people and they'll use the same words to describe this, you know, various different things. They'll use that same term. And I'm like, you know, there's a core belief about, I'll either say everything's bad or everything's crazy or everything's whatever you want to, however you want to put it. And it's when you realize, and I would say that if anyone has any doubt, go and talk to, you know, when you go and talk to someone, listen to the words they use, listen to how they describe either everybody is an ass or everybody is an angel or everyone is a thief or everyone is, you know, is a good person, you will find that it's, and so is it really that every single person out there is an ass or every single person out there is a thief? No. There are some, but when someone just sees the world that way, you know, it's got nothing to do with anyone. So if they turn around and call me a thief, it's like, you know, means nothing. That's how they see everything. And they don't see it. People don't realize that when they see things just one way, that it comes out in everything they do. And You know, and then if you try to point it out, you know, be ready because some people are going to argue with you. And I mean, I don't do that, but I can't not notice it.
So, swinging back to Chariots of the Gods, because this is what kind of interests me the most is, so when you explain, you know, your aspect of, you know, how he has broken the mold and, you know, not your aspect, but how you describe him as a hero and he's broken the mold for these things and beliefs and history. And, you know, specifically, I mean, also it was back in the, what was it? End of the 60s, 70s or whatever, when 60. There was this whole thing of, you know, alien sightings and UFOs and all that stuff, which was, you know, dropped into, you know,
right.
society and whatever was going on, and you know, the quote-unquote truth about that, and it really aligned with kind of what was happening as well, which is interesting. And so what I'm intrigued about is, so that moment that you expressed, which, you know, this is really kind of putting it under a microscope, but that moment of the actual energy of your expressing that, you know, he's a hero for breaking this mold on the beliefs and saying to people, you know, think differently. And I'm just synopsizing in my own way. That aspect of it is to me fascinating from the standpoint of, I know, you know, it's funny. This keeps on popping in my head for some reason, because I saw a couple of the interviews on Ancient Aliens, just parts of it. And I remember him talking about, and I think there was a little part in the beginning of the book, and I'm not sure, about, you know, the seminars he gives, and he has hundreds of thousands of people that show up, and he was doing talks, and he was busy, and there was an aspect of that. And I thought, so I think what my pondering was about and my intrigue was about, the energy of, so here he is, he divulges this. And it's just something basic. So I'm not being, you know, mean or opinionated or anything. I'm just trying to say it as clearly as I can. It's just something basic as, you know, think for yourself, investigate things and ask questions and look at this. And things aren't, and the further you go down the rabbit hole, things really aren't as they seem and all that kind of stuff. And yet I always wonder, so then how did he stay on that wave? Did he, and it's not, you know, I'm not trying to talk about the stay factor, or I think, okay, so you open this up, and isn't it funny how all this other stuff comes out? It's like hitting a pinata. It's like, you know, maybe there's one little special toy in there you're looking for, but all this other crap comes out. So can you stay focused on the toy?
So are you asking, how did he stay focused on his hypotheses all this time and not get pulled out of it? Is that what you're asking? I'm not sure what you're asking.
I think I'm asking, I'm not really, okay, so.
Because the pinata thing didn't help. I'm like, well. So what do you, so. What,
well, it's hard. So the pinata, the aspect of the pinata thing is, if there's one main toy, which I don't really know if this is what occurs. I think it's all just full of candy. But if all this candy comes out and it's, you know, dime candy, and you still go, ooh, that candy looks good though, you kind of stray from your one main focus. And so the more the conversation, it's, I think this is an aspect, because, you know, of course I align this with stuff we've written and things we do and we don't do, and how we said in the beginning, we weren't going to do seminars. We weren't going to do, you know, we have conversations and we share them. And, you know, I think about that and I think, isn't it funny how, what occurs there's, and you've said this in the past.
And it did occur for us now that you can do podcasts.
Right, right.
We and didn't want to sit here and go out and start getting hauls and do and having these conversations. And I have to say it, I will speak for myself. I wasn't going to convince anyone. Mm. And so I think with him, I love the idea that I haven't read any of his other stuff. So I could say, oh, geez, if you read this book or that book by him, well, he clearly went off topic or he went devolved. I don't know any of that. I love, we read this book and that's what I got. He went in there and he broke the mold for us. He started getting people thinking like, wait a second, maybe what I've been told all this time is not correct. To me, that's why I said he's my hero, because that opened the door for us to come in now. And if you feel that way, of, okay, so things aren't the way I think they are. Well, what do I do with it? Because that would be my first question. He brings you into the alien, and of course, ancient aliens, as you said, hijacked it and used it for their purposes. And they're in all that could be correct. I don't know. I'm saying that now created that, whoa, all of this just makes sense, you know, because that's how they present it. And so for the average person, and I say average because you could, you know, just be quiet because you know where I'm going. So you know where I'm going. So the you could go into the alien piece of it because that's where it's you're being led. Or if you just sit in that space of, okay, so what does this mean? Like, go bigger than that. Go bigger than aliens. That's why I keep saying he could be right. He could be wrong. That's not where I'm not interested in discussing that. I'm interested in going one step beyond. And where do you go with it? And so my thing, which is what we did, is now you have to question everything. And then how do you do that? Well, that's why energetic invocations, which, and I love saying this, I wrote that with you before I ever saw anything by him. I don't even know his name when we, you know. And so we sat down and we kind of went through that same, you know, way of approaching things as he did. We did, you know, was it Giorgio, whatever his name is, said to him, you weren't an armchair writer. You went out. He goes, no, I went to all these places. And he did. You and I were not armchair writers that we just sat and we actually looked at experiences in life. And I've thought about this. I've been watching people since I remember being a kid, watching them, how they interacted, what they did. And I'm like, why do I? And it was just fascinated me. And that's all I ever did growing up. I always was kind of on the sidelines watching people. I'd sit in Boston. We'd go into Boston. And the reason is that, you know, when you bring that in and you understand it, that at least for me is the next question. So what do I do with this? What do I do with this? And you and I sat down and had that conversation without having read Chariots of the Gods. And we went through the same process. And it just everything changed. And that's why when I look at his stuff, I'm like, he kind of went through the same process. And I think that's freaking awesome. He went in a certain direction. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. And I keep saying it because that to me is not even a discussion.
Right, right. Well, right. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so I'm just saying that to me is the beauty of what he wrote. I would think for anybody, it would just bring you to that point of, well, you know, how do you get to quote the truth in, or even closer to it? You know, and that's what I think is so important.
And you know what's funny?
What?
You answered my non-question.
Okay. I'm good at that. So, don't ask me a real one.
And so, you know, a couple of funny things, and I was going to grab a piece of paper and I said, let me just see what happens. Because, you know, you were going so fast and I didn't want to interrupt you and I wanted to interject and I wasn't going to because, you know, it was a beautiful whirlwind. So, you know, the funny thing you and I do just have to just drop this a little bit where every time you say that you because you've said this before that you watched people as a kid. And it always makes me think of Agnes Moorehead, because, of course, I read about her and she, you know, Sorry, Wrong Number and all those shows and the radio programs that she would do and with her voice and the energy she would go into. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Agnes Moorehead, but the energy she would go into. She spent most of her childhood and adult life watching people. That's what she talked about in her book. And that was fascinating to me because she put that into her characters and her energy and what she portrayed in trying to find answers herself. And, you know, you said something funny and I thought, isn't this interesting? Because I was talking about before, you know, anything that becomes quote unquote popular, you know, is, you know, obviously that way because of whatever narrative it's fulfilling. And It was beautiful when you were talking a little bit about, you know, okay, it went in the trajectory, his material went in the trajectory of aliens. Because I thought, all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, because he was so expansive in what he was trying to share as the questions, and so, you know, deep in that aspect of, you know, questioning your beliefs and questioning the material and questioning that. And it kept on being, you know, swangled into aliens, aliens, aliens. And all I heard was, it just went into another limitation.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Aliens is a limitation.
Right.
Because it's a constructed, I'm going to just keep on using this word, it's a constructive narrative. And, you know, it has two sides and whatever. And it's like, really, is that all it is? You know, it's a very three-dimensional, which is funny because, you know, of what the real explanation of it is. And yet, if you go to a foreign country, I lived in Japan for a little while and I was termed an alien. And it's like, well,
little and you swore there were aliens around you.
Exactly. And that's actually the real translation, I think, of Gaijin is alien, you know, and which is, but I don't think they use it for aliens, which is funny. Anyway, that's, you know, again, what you said before about the language and the terminology and the words, and it's revealed, like it's revealed all around you, in that part of communication.
And so, you know, another thought when you say that is, because when I said he went to aliens, it just became a new narrative, to use your word. You're right. It was the narrative is, oh, we did this and we were this. And now the new narrative, okay, it was alien. It's like, the reason I think is because we are patterned beings. We enjoy following patterns. We enjoy, you know, being, you know, okay, it's once again being consistent and being, this is how it is. Okay, we enjoy that. We like having those, you know, ways of looking at things that, you know, have been established and fitting in and all of that. And I wonder, and I pose this for myself all the time, and I know you do, and I'm sure most of our listeners do, or I'd like to think they do, and that's why they're listening, is that what if you create a pattern that didn't fit anything out there? That to me is when it gets interesting. Like, okay, change the pattern. It just might be in the way you look at something. Then what happens? Because a pattern is like, it's like you fall into a groove, right?
Right, right.
And if you see everybody as, I'm going to go back to what I said before, everyone's a thief, then, well, that's all you're ever going to see. Okay, well, no, actually I went and now I met a lot of people and all these people are really kind and they're good and everyone's good now. Well, you just went just another groove. Now everyone's good, right?
It's right.
So what if you pull out of it and the pattern is, there isn't a pattern. There is no pattern. And this is, I think a little bit of being in the present moment. There's no pattern. There's no beginning. There's no end. There's no history. There's no baggage. There's no, I don't want to say hope for the future, because we all do have hopes for what's coming up, but you don't live in the future. You don't negate right now. And just, this is all I want. This is all I want. This is all I want. I'll be the first to admit I did that. And guess what? I get there and then now I have something new. And it's like, when do you ever enjoy this moment? And it's like, I'm always into tomorrow, next week. And I'm trying to change that about myself. I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting better. But
thank you for subscribing and listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon authors pages and Google Play Books for our books and ebooks, and our fan link for podcasts available everywhere. Find music from the Free Rock Trio and New Threads everywhere too.